More Idaho Matters from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. Journalist Ashley Ahern gave up the city life when she and her husband moved to the rural sagebrush country of Washington State. And things took a significant turn when she decided to adopt a wild Mustang named Boo. She brought her recorder with her and began documenting her time training Boo, which led her into an exploration of the world of Mustangs. That journey is chronicled in her new podcast. It's called Mustang, and it's out now. And she sat down with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, to talk about her very personal and now quite professional passion.
So you own actually more than one wild adoptee, right? How many horses do you own?
Well, I had an older mare, not a Mustang, that a woman gave to me actually when I moved to this valley. And then a few years ago, I started to get the Mustang bug, as they say, and found out that, wow, we have thousands and thousands of wild horses roaming the West. Gee whiz, I could have one of them for $125. And that's the rest is history. And then in the course of reporting the new podcast series that we're going to be talking about today, I traveled to the Spokane Indian Reservation in northeastern Washington State and ended up coming home with another wild horse a few months ago now. So I have two wild ones.
What are their names, first of all?
Pistol is my beloved older mare. And then Bua'a is the star Mustang, the gelding that I wrote the podcast about. And his short for Bua'a actually means friend in Paiute. And the chairwoman of the Burns Paiute tribe shared that word with me because that is sort of the part of the world where Boo is from. And so his name means friend in Paiute, and Boo for short. And then Cricket is the new one. And she has the vertical jump of a cricket, I'm finding, as I've been saddling her. So she's got a good name, too.
For the record, you had never trained a horse before, had you?
No. Oh, I had not. It's been quite the learning curve.
So at least take me there. Who taught who?
That is the perfect question for that, George. So I think what I have learned, and again, I am not a horse trainer. I am somebody who has stumbled through this with a very patient and kind wild horse as my guide. Training horses is about saying thank you. And it's about making hundreds of small asks and of them and seeing if they will come into my world and trust me as a strange creature and then maybe consider doing what I'm asking them to do because it doesn't seem scary or dangerous. And then I thank them again and again. And working with Boo, especially over the past 2 years, which I recorded a lot of that process and used it throughout the podcast to sort of illustrate our journey in parallel to the larger world of Mustangs that I was learning about through him. And each session, you walk into a round, the round pen with your wild horse, and gosh, do you have to be fully present. Like anything that's bothering you, the background noise of our lives, so to speak, has to be muted so that you can be 100% there with that animal. And I would find that the days that I was, troubled or frustrated or whatever, something else was bothering me, he would just disregard. He would just turn away and not want anything to do with me. His energy, they pick up on signals that we don't even know that we are sending, and it would absolutely ruin a training session. So he's taught me a lot about kind of self modulation and staying calm and being patient, and most importantly, saying thank you, because he's given so much trust to me in these tiny pieces over the course of our time together that if I don't stop and say thank you and appreciate those moments, then what's the point? That's the joy.
So as a layperson, is it a pure arc at a certain point? Is that training over, or is it never ending?
Well, I'm laughing because any horse people that are listening to this will be laughing as well. Your horse is never fully trained, or at least in my opinion, your horse is never fully trained. It's sort of like saying you've learned everything you can about a subject. The minute you stop being open to learning new things and tweaking and fixing things is the minute life gets boring and maybe accidents can happen because, as I'm finding with Boo, there can be holes in his training that I didn't even know that he had, just in terms of maybe he's head shy about something over his ear, if I don't fix that, then the next time I go to bridle him, he could really pull back and cause a big problem. And so you're kind of always slowing things down, breaking them up into tiny pieces so that he can follow me through them and be okay in the scenarios in which I put him. Because they're weird for him. He didn't see humans probably very much for the first 2 years of his life. So what the heck am I, and what am I asking him to do now?
So you've teased us. You said that you've recorded much of what happened in these 2 years.
Yeah, I really, you know, when I first got Boo, I wasn't sure if I was going to share this part of my life publicly because I didn't know how it was going to go. It could have been an absolute mess, right? I was in over my head. I'd never trained a horse. I was just learning so much that I just had to bring my recorder with me, is my chronic problem in this line of work. And I started recording these little snippets of our time together. And then as I was just kind of curious about the world of Mustangs, there are more than 80,000 wild horses roaming our public lands in the West, not including the thousands more that are on Native American reservations and Forest Service lands. And many people don't know very much about them and how we manage them and the kind of problems that arise when there are conflicts between, you know, say ranchers who want to graze their cows in the same places where the horses are, or the effects that wild horses can have on sage grouse and other, you know, mule deer and creatures that we care about and manage. It's a management issue that's fascinating, but it also has a really interesting cultural, historical connection for Westerners, folks who've come into the West over the generations, but also the indigenous peoples who are here for millennia, many say living alongside horses. And so in the course of this podcast series, I was trying to pay homage to that and really explore with the listener all of the different facets of what has been called one of the most wicked natural resource questions in the West now, all through the eyes of my own journey and recordings with Boo. As he's kind of coming into my world, I'm coming into his.
I heard you say break down the process, but I didn't hear you once say break or broken when referring to Boo. I know that that's an adage of, you know, breaking a horse, but that's not what happened here.
No, Boo is far from broken.
Yeah.
In fact, he's calling the shots many, many times out of the day when we spend time together, in a good way, though. There are many different schools of thought on that, and I would never throw shade on the cowboys who want a dead broke quarter horse to do the ranch work that they need to do and the jobs they need to get accomplished. I do cow work with Boo. He's actually pretty good around cows so far. We're just getting started, but he stays calm and he's really curious. But for me, it's never about breaking a horse, because to me that implies that their spirit is somehow subdued or bottled up or subject to my will over his. And I think that what I've found with horses is the best is when you have a partnership with them. And I don't, for example, I don't train Boo with treats, so he's not motivated to please me because he thinks he's going to get food. I only give him positive reinforcement. So I pet him and tell him he's a good boy when he does stuff that I want him to do. And it's worked. I mean, he's rideable now. I mean, he's not the perfect horse by any means, and I'm not the perfect trainer. But to me, it's about a partnership and not a subject owner or owner, you know, slave type of dynamic. I think that's really toxic in the horse world and very common. So we work together and try to figure things out. And it forces me to be maybe a more reasonable and patient human in the process.
So are your days defined by his days? In other words, that's, you know, when you wake up, when your day is over, what you choose to do or not do on weekends?
100%. And for the better. You know, I lived in cities for most of my early life and career and, you know, working in journalism, the jobs are in cities. And 6 years ago, my husband and I moved to 20 acres of sagebrush outside of a town of about 600 people in Washington State. And we haven't looked back. I think that our days are much more connected to the natural cycles of the earth. Not to sound hippie about that, but they kind of just by necessity, you know, if you have to shovel snow to get out your door, then that's what you're doing that morning. You're not maybe making it to your 9 a.m. meeting like it would be easy to do living in the city most of the time anyway. Like this morning before you and I got on the phone, I spent an hour with Boo. And I fed him and I brushed him and, you know, we practiced some trailer loading with my new wild horse and, you know, I fuss with him. I clean up and just I have kind of a routine and it's quiet time. My phone's on silent. I'm not talking to anyone. I walk down to the barn in the morning and we have a good half an hour, 45 minutes that is the start of my days. And I cherish that time because it's slow time and it's quiet time and it's hard to find that in our modern lives, I think.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudet. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know you are physically adapting to all your swiping, scrolling, and tapping? we're changing our bodies and what they're able to do through our habits.
NPR's Body Electric, a special interactive series investigating how to fix the relationship between our tech and our health. Listen in the TED Radio Hour feed wherever you get your podcasts.